It's the web's only podcast completely devoted to daily fantasy sports. Welcome to the Roto-Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix. Here's your host, Dan Bach.
Hey everybody, what is going on? Thank you so much for checking us out once again. We are the Roto-Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix, all presented by Daily Joust, basically the podcast that you need to listen to each and every day if you want to start winning in daily fantasy sports. We're breaking down the matchups. We're also telling you about all the big promos going on and any other news that's happening in this ever-exploding industry that, of course, we are in. So, as always, we thank you so much for checking us out. One thing I want to start off talking about is some of the new features here at Roto-Grinders. If you don't know, just yesterday we launched our Split Stats tab. And what I'm talking about is anybody who plays baseball knows that looking at statistics ultimately is going to give you a greater edge when putting your teams together. And we realized that at Roto-Grinders. So what we did is we are giving you free to everybody batter versus pitcher stats, lefty versus righty, night versus day, split stats for all the players playing that day. And you can either find them on the lineups page where it'll be segmented by each team, or you can simply go to its own page, which is on the splits tab on the front page on the top of the screen. So I know this is a very extremely important component, I believe, in putting teams together. So I'm so excited that we are offering it here on Roto-Grinders. So make sure you take advantage of that. I mean, we are bringing you so much stuff here in Daily Fantasy. You really don't need to go anywhere else, you know? I mean, it's like as the site evolves, as the industry evolves, you know, we're going to be adding more and more things to it. So hopefully there comes a day where basically everything you could possibly want is right here on Roto-Grinders, and we're getting a little bit closer to that in terms of being your source, your hub for daily fantasy information. So make sure you take much use of those tools. I guarantee you they will help you advanced your daily fantasy success even further. So definitely excited to announce that. Also, today in the industry, got a big tournament, obviously, on FanDuel. It's the Daily Fantasy Baseball Championship. Qualifier is tonight. A little later in the podcast, we'll talk with last week's qualifier, Jared Amell, and a very good conversation with him. So that's going to be later in the show. But definitely wanted to remind you of that. Also, at FanDuel, they started their early-only games. And I don't know if they're the first, they might be, but the first people to actually offer daily games that are exclusively for the early game. So if there's games that start at noon, you know, 1, 2, 4, well, those are the only games that are going to be in that select group. So if you're one of those people who doesn't like baseball because you hate the fact that, you know, you don't always have the lineup information available for you if you want to play the games at noon, well, here's your solution to it. Usually all those games lineups are going to be out by the time they run. So it's nice. It's basically, you know, if you're an action junkie and you want to get some morning action and then some afternoon or, excuse me, evening action, then you can do that. So they actually pay out right after the games are over. The first set of games are over. So again, this isn't just regular daily fantasy that includes the early games. It's just the early games. So you can check that over there on FanDuel. I also want to, talk about Daily Joust here for a second, because often people in the industry, especially Roto-Grinders members who play, at a higher clip, you know, I don't want to say they don't consider it a hobby, but they're in it to make money, and rake is often an issue that people discuss. And I really want to point out a situation that went in the player's direction, because so often, you know, the rake gets bigger. But in this case, that's not the case. Over on Daily Joust, their King Richard 50-50 Survivor contest. They're running them on Friday, so there should be ones for baseball and the NBA. I'm not sure if they're sold out or not. But the one thing I noticed last night when they posted them is they actually increased the prize pool from $550 to $550. And you're probably thinking, well, Dan, they probably just had more entries or, you know, did something along those lines. In fact, the answer to that is no. It's still the same $20 entry. Basically, they just took that $50 out of their pocket and put it back into the players. So the rake on those tournaments had been much higher. They just took $50 and gave it back to the player. Not too often do you see fantasy sites do that. But I know that they did face some, I don't know if criticism's the word, but I know that they probably got emails from people wondering, hey, why is the rake so much higher in this tournament compared to other ones? And they looked at it and they thought about it. And you know what? I think they made the right decision in this one. So I want to commend Daily Joust for doing that. It's not easy to suddenly, you know, as a business, just sit there and give back money to people, but that's ultimately what they did, and I think it might be a short-term loss, but a long-term gain, because I know a lot more people will be interested in playing it, those, if they look at it and say from a value perspective, and when I say value, it's, you know, how much money is coming out based on your entry that you put in. From a value perspective, it's a lot more viable game to play, and I'll tell you what, it's one of the most fun games they have to offer on their site. So it'll be interesting to see if maybe they start offering more of them up if they start filling even faster. So check that out. That's over on Daily Joust, their King Richard tournaments. Again, now $550 and only a $20 entry on that. Last thing in the industry need to talk about is the $1 jackpot that we discussed yesterday on the podcast over there at Draft Day. Believe it or not, somebody hit it. That's right. After like thinking like, oh, nobody's going to hit this all season long. They've had thousands of entries and you know, only one person ever got to this 88-point mark. Sure enough, the next day, boom, it happens. Congratulations to Soda, what is it? Soda Graham X, I think, or Soda Green X. Good job by him. He won $919 on that. I don't know if he only put in one team or not, but ultimately, you need a day like yesterday to happen to get to that sort of high number when you have Curtis Granderson having three home runs, Vance Worley having a spectacular 11 strikeout game. Of course, you know, guys like Evan Longoria, you know, doing what he's supposed to do. Mike Napoli. I mean, those were a lot of popular plays, and they all pretty much came through. So, still a great contest. I'm sure Draft Day's obviously going to keep it going, and it'll be interesting to see how long it takes somebody else to get to that mark now that a newer one has been set. So, congratulations to him for making it happen. We're going to talk some Major League Baseball now, so let's do it.
Relax. All right, don't try to strike everybody out. Strikeouts are boring. Besides, after fascist, throw some ground ball. More democratic.
Taking a look at the schedule today in Major League Baseball. Remember, we only handle the night games here on the podcast, so let's start it out there. In Texas, Texas and Detroit, it's Matt Harrison against Rick Porcello. Mike Napoli is now homered in four consecutive games. Now the question is asking, do you play him? Because, come on, this streak has to come at some point in time. But the bottom line is he is absolutely red, scorching hot. And so are the Texas Rangers. Ian Kinsler, Michael Young, Cruz all had three hits last night, and Texas has plated 53 runs while batting .345 during its current seven-game streak. So they're leading the majors right now with 79 runs, 23 homers, a .306 batting average. They are just basically hitting the snot out of the ball right now, so you can't go wrong looking at any of the players on the Texas Rangers. With that said, the impressive thing is they also lead the American League in earned run average, 2.38 ERA. Their starting pitchers are 9-0 for the first time in club history. So not only do they have the best hitting, they've got the best pitching in the American League too. So just a dynamic club right now. And looking historically, though, Matt Harrison has not done well against Detroit. So I think you might want to look at some Tigers in this one. Ryan Rayburn, yeah, he's not doing well at all. I think he's 0-81 in the season, but 8-for-12 with a couple of homers and a couple of doubles lifetime against Harrison. Again, 7.43 ERA, 0-4 against Detroit in his career. Miguel Cabrera also batting 415 career at-bats against Harrison. Miami and Washington. Miami has won four in a row while outscoring their opponents 24-10 behind a .307 batting average and five home runs. Hanley Ramirez, big part of that. .550 batting average, three home runs, nine ribbies in the past four games. And Hanley's a career .341 hitter against the Nationals with 25 home runs, so he has done well against them historically. Jose Reyes, not off to a great start so far for Miami, but he's going to turn it around. He's hit .328 in 16 meetings last year against Washington. I would consider him tonight at shortstop. And as for the pitcher, Carlos Zambrano, he goes against Detweiler, and Zambrano, a .69 ERA and 27 strikeouts in 26 innings against Washington. So he basically has done spectacular. He's won six out of his last seven versus the Nationals with an ERA of 2.84. So you definitely can't really go wrong with Zambrano, except for the fact that he is Carlos Zambrano, and he's a nutball, so you don't really know what he's going to do day-to-day. But historically, the numbers are on your side for him to have a good game. St. Louis and Pittsburgh, it's Lynn versus Morton, and the Pirates, they have 26 runs, baseball's worst total. Now, they played against some pretty tough pitchers, but I love this stat. The Penguins have scored 22 goals through four games of their first round series against Philadelphia. And right now, the Pirates have 26. So 12 games for them, and right now, the Penguins doing just about as good as they are. Lynn actually had 13 Ks over his first 12 innings. He's off to a good start. But Andrew McCutchen starting to get rolling a little bit. 4.12 batting average on that road trip. Six hits in his last two games, so consider him. Charlie Morton, 2-5 with a 6.25 ERA and 9 starts against St. Louis, so not a good sign there in terms of him having much success today. San Francisco and the Mets, it's Barry Zito versus John Neese. Zito's been red hot. Shut out in the first game, 7 innings, 2 runs in the second. They faced off against each other last year, and the game was a 1-0 score. Great pitching by both pitchers in that one. Melky Cabrera, he is 3-for-7 with a double against Nice. Besides that, not a whole lot of interesting batter versus pitcher stats. A couple of no-name guys who are cheap who've been playing well for the Mets. Catcher Josh Tolley batting .355, reach base in all 11 games that he's played. And rookie center Kirk Nienhuis. I don't know how you pronounce it, but you know what, you'll find his name. 6-game hitting streak in which he's batting .450 right now for the Mets. So they've been having a couple of success from some lower tier names on that team. Next game to talk about, Minnesota and Tampa Bay, Liam Hendricks against Matt Moore. Matt Moore has not been very good at all this year, but he was such a big strikeout guy in the minors. Coming back home against Minnesota, I think this is a really good spot for Matt Moore to get things rolling. So I might be willing to go that route because I think there's a lot of high upside with him today. Desmond Jennings, Evan Longoria, each homered, had a combined 6-for-9 at the plate yesterday, 6 RBIs. BJ Upton also will be returning to the lineup for the Rays, but he's a strikeout machine and definitely wait on him for him to kind of get rolling a little bit. Minnesota batting only .218 against left-handed pitching this year, so again, maybe even more reasons to consider Matt Moore in that game. Los Angeles Dodgers versus the Houston Astros, Ted Lilly versus Jay Happ. Happ is actually 3-0 with a 2.93 ERA in his last seven games, dating back to a loss at San Francisco on August 26. He has a 1.69 ERA in three career games, two starts against the Dodgers, but he's going to be going against Matt Kemp, who is disgustingly good. .533 batting average, 5 home runs, 9 ribbies in an 8-game hitting streak, and let's face it, he absolutely eats up left-handed pitching. Ted Lilly has won 4 straight starts dating back to last season while yielding 2 runs, 1 earned, and 27 in a third innings. Although he's 0-2, but he's got a nice 2.97 ERA in his last 5 starts against the Astros. One kind of sleeper on the Astros to look at, Jose Altuve. He's been a nice little surprise, .348 batting average, getting a double and a triple just on Thursday night. Toronto takes on Kansas City, Kyle Dravec versus Luke Hochevar. And Kansas City, 3-9 this year, has lost its first 6 games at Kauffman Stadium. That's not going to continue all that much longer, I think. Although Dravec has been stellar in his first 2 games, you got to question how often is he really going to keep it up. Billy Butler, he's batting .455 and with 6 RBIs during an 8-game hitting streak, so he's starting to get hot. He's also 7-for-10 with 4 doubles in his last 2 games against Toronto. Eric Hosmer, I think he's a definite play tonight, 2-for-2 against Dravec. Very good splits in this situation. I like Hosmer quite a bit tonight. Luke Hochevar, 2-0 with a 2.08 ERA in 2 home starts against the Blue Jays. Hochevar is either pretty solid for you or absolutely awful. There's no middle ground. You know, no middle ground with him at all, so very risky to go that route. Would not recommend it. Colorado-Milwaukee, Gustavo Chacin versus Sean Markham. Markham, 2-1 with a 4.0 ERA and 3 starts against Colorado. Interesting stat with Markham, though. 4.81 ERA at home, but 2.36 on the road. So like 2.5 points better away from Milwaukee. Troy Tulowitzki, he's kind of in a funk here. He made 6 errors in 140 games last season. He's already matched that total in just 11 games this year, and I think it's carrying over to the plate. He's 1 for his last 14 in his last 4 games, so we'll see whether he bounces back in this one. Jason Giambi has incredible numbers off Markham, batting 500 with 3 home runs. So if the outside chance he's put in the lineup, he might be a very cheap guy with some upside there. But ultimately, Carlos Gonzalez, Cargo, Ramon Hernandez, 2 guys with a pair of home runs against Markham in their career. Ryan Braun, 0 for 11, 5 strikeouts in the 3-game set with Los Angeles. He is definitely in a funk. But Aramis Ramirez, 5 for 9 with a homer against Chacin in his career, starting to hit the ball a little bit better for Milwaukee. Atlanta, Arizona, Braves have won 8 out of the last 9. Their offense is starting to click. And they've averaged actually 7 runs while batting .298 with runners in scoring position during their 8-1 run. Freddie Freeman, guy's absolutely on fire. 7 for 13, 3 homers, 10 ribbies in the last 3 games. Martin Prado, I think he's a guy you want to consider tonight. 375 in 56 career at-bats against the Diamondbacks. It's actually his highest average in OPS against any National League opponent, so I like Prado tonight. Brandon Beachy usually doesn't really go long in games, but can definitely give you a high K total. But the question is, how many innings is he going to go? The good thing for him, Arizona, their lineup is not looking very strong right now. Chris Young is out on the disabled list. Justin Upton still missing games with injuries, so I think Beachy is a legit play tonight in this game. Baltimore and Los Angeles, Brian Matthews, Jerome Williams, not the pitcher's duel that I think we're certainly expecting in this one, because Albert Pujols, 3 doubles yesterday, and I'll tell you what, doubles are good signs. Doubles mean you're almost hitting those home runs, you're making good contact. I think he's ready to blast one out today. Matthews, these numbers are insane. 12.10 ERA in his last 12 starts. Opponents have hit 19 homers while batting .390 with a .459 on-base percentage. Right-handed hitters are batting .429 with 2 homers and 28 at-bats against him this season. And let's face it, the Angels right now, this team is ripe for a breakout game. I think an Angels team stack today is not a bad way to go. Howie Kendrick, 4 for 9 with a double against Matthews. Vernon Wells, 5 for 6 with a homer and 3 doubles. Peter Borges, 3 for 5 with a homer. Eric Ibar, 3 for 8. So I think I'm very confident I'm going to use an Angels team stack in the DFBC today. Jerome Williams, on the other hand, 4-0 with a 2.31 ERA in his 6 starts for the Angels last year. That included a pretty good one against the Orioles, but he got lit up in the first game against the Yankees. Markakis, 2 for 3 against him on this year. And let's face it, he's Jerome Williams. I thought he was dead for a while. Like, he left baseball for like 3 years and then mysteriously showed up out of the blue. But don't think he is that great of a pitcher or a reliable option tonight. Cleveland against Oakland, Ubaldo Jimenez, Graham Gottfried on the mound. Jack Hanahan hitting .313 with a homer and 8 RBIs in the last 9 games. Actually, it's a .308 batting average against the A's and 6 for 15, 3 homers in the last 3 games against them. Oakland, they can't hit. They won 3 straight, though. They got lucky last night on some errors by C.J. Wilson. Ultimately, I think Ubaldo Jimenez is a very smart play in this one. Not a whole lot of great track records. Johnny Gomes, the one guy who's had some success, 4 for 10 with 2 homers. Let's face it, Gomes is either a home run machine or a strikeout machine. So cross your fingers, Ubaldo doesn't give out the long ball, because if he doesn't, it'll likely be a strikeout. Philadelphia, San Diego, Hamels versus Volquez. Vance Worley looked like Roy Halladay last night. 11 strikeouts, just an absolute gem of a game. So you've got to imagine Hamels is in line to do something similar. Loves pitching in San Diego. 3-0 with a .38 ERA versus the Padres in his last 3. To me, he's an absolute no-brainer tonight. Padres batting .206 with runners in scoring position during their 1-7 skid. Cameron Maben, good track record against Hamels. 6 for 19, 3 doubles, but in a 1 for 19 slump right now. So I think it's best to avoid pretty much any Padre in this game. Edison Volquez allowing a .186 batting average, and he's also struck out 15 in the 2 starts at Petco spanning 12 innings. Also a .73 ERA, fans 16 and 12 in a third innings and winning each of his 2 career starts against the Phillies. So he's got a pretty good track record against them. Hunter Pence, Jimmy Rollins, not very good. 3 for 18, 8Ks, and 1 for 7. The one guy who might be a cheap option for you if you're looking for some value somewhere, Ty Wigington, 3 for 6, 2 homers against Edison Volquez. Last game to talk about tonight, Chicago and Seattle. Chris Sale versus Hector Nuisi. White Sox are 16-3 against the Mariners since 2010, their best record against any AL opponent. Since 2010, Canerico's batting .420. With 9 homers, 5 doubles, 14 ribbies against the Mariners. Absolutely destroys them. And he's had a great season this year. .370 batting average, a home run, 5 doubles, and 9 RBIs. Adam Dunne's got a homer against Nuisi, only guy with any sort of track record against him. But he's going to strike out a ton, but versus right-handed pitching, you cross your fingers he gets a home run because certainly will make up for his strikeouts. Nuisi got lit up by Texas in the opener, but shut down Oakland in the second game. That doesn't really say much considering Texas is the best hitting team and Oakland can't hit for a lick, so that only makes sense. As for Seattle, Ichiro, a little bit of a slump, 171 in his last nine games, 1-for-1 against Chris Sale, and I think Sale is a good option tonight. He can get some strikeouts, and let's face it, Seattle's second-worst batting average this year against left-handed pitching at 191, so I don't think that he is a bad guy to go with tonight. So that's a rundown in Major League Baseball for this Friday evening. Best of luck. Joining us now on the podcast, very excited to bring on the next FanDuel Daily Fantasy Baseball Championship qualifier. He won last Friday's tournament basically by the skin of his teeth. Goes by Jamel Four, but his real name is Jared Amel, or Amel, and he joins us here on the podcast. Jared, thanks again for the time, and congratulations on the big win last week. Had about a week now to kind of have it sink in that you're got a chance to play for $100,000. You got to be pretty excited about that.
Yeah, it's definitely once in a lifetime opportunity. I'm very excited about it. For the first time in my relationship with my wife, she's actually excited about my fantasy baseball and football playing. So we're very excited.
You know, it the same thing happened for me. It took a big windfall, a big tournament win for her to get on board. But once you're there, you know, once she gets, you know, once she's out there and, you know, sees the fruits of your labor, she'll come to appreciate it a lot more. Now let's talk about that last Friday night. I mean, pretty exciting finish, about as close of a finish as I think we've probably ever seen in a qualifier. It came down to a Kyle Seager at bat, the last basically at bat of the night. Take us through exactly the scenario that played out.
Yeah, I've become a big Kyle Seager fan, but basically what happened is we were both tied. We were tied in points, and if we would have finished tied in points, we would have had to go to another qualifying day the next day. But he had one last at bat, and he ended up striking out. And when he struck out, that you lose a quarter of a point. So that took us away from a tie to me going to Las Vegas, which I love seeing.
Now, what was that like? Because you're out in South Carolina. I'm imagining that, you know, the Seattle Mariner games are not readily available in your local market. Were you actually watching this, like, on your computer?
I was watching it on my phone. Through ESPN Gamecast. I was watching little red dots flash up.
And I bet you were, you know, I can't imagine the anticipation now. Was your wife around? Like, I mean, did you bring her into this? Did you let her know it was on the line? Like, I'm kind of curious what her reaction is watching you watch a phone and getting so excited.
No, fortunately enough for me, my wife was out of town, so that allowed me the ability to play that night, and then you know, I tell my wife about the wins. she was told on Saturday night.
Well, you're a very, very smart man. That's definitely the way to do it. Now, did you let anybody know, like, as you were coming down to the last, you know, couple innings of this game that, hey, you know, I've got a good chance? Or were you, like, watching this all by your lonesome here?
No, my brother Justin, who's also is on FanDuel quite a bit himself, when it came down late into the night, I called him and we watched it basically the last half hour of the night unfold together. We were talking on the phone. But, you know, the real thing that people didn't realize is, you know, a lot of people had Aaron Harang pitching that night for the Dodgers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he left the game with an 8-3 lead. you know, if he gets credit for the win, that's 5 points, and I would have had somebody pass me. Well, he leaves with an 8-3 lead, so I'm thinking I'm going to cash in the, for as far as money, but I'm not going to be able to win. Well, Dodgers blew an 8-3 lead. San Diego hit a home run. I think it was San Diego hit a home run with two outs in the bottom of the ninth to tie the game, and that allowed Harang not to get the win. And so that's really, that was a little more remarkable than it coming down to the Seegers at bat, the fact that they blew a 5-run lead.
We're talking with Jared Amel. He is the Week 2 Daily Fantasy Baseball qualifier there on FanDuel. Going to be going to Vegas in a couple months to vie for that $100,000 first place prize. What are the plans for Vegas? You mentioned that you're married. Is this going to be bringing your wife along to make her happy, or is it going to be a boys' trip? Have you thought that through yet?
No, my wife will be coming with me. You know, we've had some trips to Vegas before, and we're both big fans, so she's excited. She's coming down. I think my brother Justin will probably make the trip as well. He won't be able to be in the same room, you know, on the competition day, but he'll be there in spirit with me.
Well, I'm sure we could maybe even pull a string or two to help him out to get near to get you near the day of the tournament, especially since he's the one who got you onto FanDuel. Now, this is I like getting into the personal side of people a little bit, just to kind of learn about the people who play daily fantasy. It looks like here you're a football coach and athletic director. Now, I have to ask, do your students know about this? I'm kind of curious. Like, do they have any idea of the fact that you're going to be going to Vegas to play for this huge sum of money?
Yeah, through the beauty of Facebook, many of them do know now. And, you know, I told them all. My wife had posted the original article that was on FanDuel on Facebook. And so most of them know. And they're excited. They've already asked for money if I win. So.
Not surprising there. Not surprising there. last couple things for you. Now, you know, it's a cliche question. You know, you've probably been asked it a dozen times. But you know, the money. I mean, that's a lot of money. I mean, the term we're using here on the podcast is decade changing money. May not change your life forever, but certainly the next 10 years is going to be a lot easier. I mean, has the thought even crept into your mind about what you might do with $100,000?
Well, as a coach, you know, you never want to count your wins before you get them or think ahead too much. But yeah, when knowing what's on the line, you know, you think about, well, what if I place top third or maybe second? You know, what if I place first? You know, like you said, it certainly is decade changing money. My wife and I have talked about it a little bit, but not too much.
Now, how many teams did you end up putting in that week?
I put in 3.
Okay. Is that about the tip? Is that what you did the first week as well, or was this your first time at it?
This was my first shot this past week. So.
Well, beginner's luck, I guess. But nonetheless, you've actually been on FanDuel a little bit, looked at your stats you've been playing since the NFL season. I mean, with this being your first baseball season, what did you think? I mean, are you more into baseball, or are you more of a football guy? Obviously, you're a football coach, but from a fantasy side of things, are you surprised that you did so well in a big baseball tournament?
Yeah, you know, I was surprised. You know, a lot's got to happen for you to be able to win a tournament with that many people in it. You know, luck's got to go your way a little bit. You know, I love football, obviously, but the thing I enjoy about baseball is it's every night. You know, you can do it every night, and you know, FanDuel has completely revolutionized the fantasy game. You know, it used to be people had year-long seasons, you know, and, you know, they didn't actually win anything until 162 games was played. Well, now you can win every night, and that's, you know, that's great.
Absolutely. Hey, Jared, certainly appreciate you joining us here on the podcast. I'll tell you, you're going to have a blast out there in Vegas. I was lucky enough to check it out for the football championship this past year. So be prepared to eat and drink a lot of food out there in Vegas. And best of luck later on this summer, my friend.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Time for me to take a quick moment to say thank you to my good friends over there at DailyJoust.com. Of course, Daily Fantasy Sports, that's what they're all about. And they put out some of the most innovative games out there, whether it's the SSTs, the King Richards, like I mentioned earlier, now with a $50 additional prizes in the prize pool for you. They're listening to their customers. They're making changes. They're doing what they need to do to become one of the top daily fantasy sites out there. One of the great things, too, is all the new faces over there. Man, I'll tell you what, their chat box is getting loaded up with tons of new players. That's good for some of the experienced ones to see some of these new players on there. And one thing they're offering, if you've never tried it out, free roll every single day for you over there on Daily Joust. Make sure you sign up through our links on Roto Grinders, because we've got, of course, our incentives program. We have monthly free roll available only for people who sign up through our links on Roto Grinders. But ultimately, the site themselves, it speaks for itself. They do a great job with their customer service, some of the best salary pricing you're going to find anywhere. Love their NBA product. So go over there and check them out. They've been a sponsor of this podcast since the first day it started. We appreciate their loyalty. They are DailyJoust.com. And with that, folks, I'm going to say goodbye to you today. We will return again next week. We're going to bring in Brian Saul. Of course, he is Chainsaw. That's his ID. He was the big Super Joust winner, so we'll talk to him next week on the podcast about his win in Super Joust 2. Also, recap what happened from the weekend and talk about all the matchups, because let's face it, every single day we get to do this. It is what makes Daily Fantasy Sports great. So thank you so much for checking us out. Please follow us on Twitter. It gives you all the up-to-date injury news and how it pertains to Daily Fantasy Sports. It's at RotoGrinders. And subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. It'll be for you, be here with you each and every day. I'll join you tomorrow morning over there on Sirius XM Radio with Fantasy Pros 911. You can check me out over there at 8:15 in the morning. Otherwise, I'll talk to you on the podcast on Monday. Have yourself a great weekend.